There are two brands of audience. All right? Now, the thing is like this. That there are people, you see, there are people who are involved in only the materialistic part of life. So that becomes their ego. That becomes their overvaluation. That this is the value and that's it. So their worthiness is tied to the material. But then on the other hand, you have people whose worthiness is tied to spirituality. They feel that they're superior people. They're something special. And that's why they don't involve themselves in malacha. Why? Because malacha work is too degrading. Degrading thing. You see, I have to work. Hey, I'm a person that's a spiritual being, set aside, a separate class. So therefore, the person feels it's too degrading for him to work. That is a spiritual haughtiness. So haughtiness can express itself in one of the two areas. Either expression could lead to that result. And you find people of both the types. Find people of both types. The Gemara says, Chazal say, Pshot nevela b'shuk v'al tistarach l'briyas. On the contrary, even the Talmud Chacham, if he doesn't have any money, a great Talmud Chacham, he should take a carcass in the street, cut off the hide, and he should sell the hide, earn his living v'al tistarach l'briyas. That's what the Gemara says. On the contrary, no such thing. The Gemara says, you see, Chazal had, many of the greatest Chazal had demeaning labor. They killed Shatbud, another places around mentally would carry stones from one and carry wood from one place to another. So you see that there's no such thing. A person who feels that he is such a great cutter that he can't work is involved in this fate. Danger, very dangerous thing to be involved in. A person feels that he's too great to work. That's a gaiva. That's gaiva. That's rum levava. That's rum levava. Yeah. So the answer now, the thing is like this. Here we go. So what does he say? Now you see what it means. Yofa Talmud Torah in derech eretz yigia shneihem mishkachas avon. How does this combination work? Because insofar as the being haughty with regard to material things, if he sits and learns, he can't. Because once he sits and learns and sees the chachmas, a Torah that's Ein Sof, he really can't feel too haughty about the material things. I mean, it's a small thing, because very, very small in his eyes. He realizes this is silly, nonsensical. On the other hand, the danger of becoming a haughty with regard to feeling spiritually superior, there malacha is the malacha counteracts that. So that both together, yigia shneihem mishkachas avon, that combination prevents him from being haughty in either way. And then he lives in reality, and that's why he has a happy life. See, that's the pshat. Yafa Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. That's what you say. Yigia shneihem mishkachas avon, because each one supplies what the other one misses. But what Shlomo asked, if for instance a person was had enough money and he didn't have to work, ain't a chanami. It doesn't say to go. Well, that would be silly for him to go out and work and waste his time. But what it means is that the person, if he has that attitude. If he has an attitude where he simply can't work, it's demeaning. You see? That is wrong. But it doesn't mean he has to actually work. It's not the actual work that is the bad thing. But of course, I'll mention one thing. But of course, the Chazal is speaking in the normal life, normal way a person's made, he has to do both. The Chazal is saying that you shouldn't think that doing both is bad. On the contrary, that the world was created that way because it really is to our benefit, it's to our perfection. A person shouldn't feel it. He shouldn't look at work as something bad. You see that the Hadaram says that how the Chazal used to praise it. Yeah, they said it mechames haguf. Instead of demeaning it, they recognize that it's something that's good for a person. That's right. That's very good. Right. That's why the curse of Adam Rishon was b'zeis hapecha tocha lechem. It was necessary for him to have work. We don't believe in such things as a curse per se. God never curses people. God created people who want to benefit people. But once Adam Rishon was reduced to the level of where he was involved in the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, once he was on that level, then he had to have the work to perfect it. So the work is really part of perfection. Okay. The Gemara of Zeh Avanu Shabitul Memelocha Mevi Aso Ala Oni. So the fact that it doesn't work, so it becomes poor. The Gemara Kamo Avanos Virasaraba. It is very, very Virasaraba. It's very bad. And listen to why is it very bad. He says, Ki mit neho, because of this, ye hav matanos velo yichya. V'yachnik b'nei odom, afi neim rishoyim, kadei sheyitnu lo. See? Gam ki yitom ha-kesef neim matanos yeganaf of Yustis, v'yavi gzeilas ha-oni levesa, leval yomas barov. Very interesting thing. He says, u'bahagi adam alamidas ha-eile, ein matzo l'rucho, v'lo yenuach v'lo yishkot ad yavo kol ha-mitzvah samorz b'tara, ki ha-veri gares ha-vera. V'alzeh ha-merazal, mesechet chulun, Okay? It's an interesting thing. This is a different aspect, different point. What are you saying over here? Gives a whole sequence of events, a whole prediction that the person is going to steal and finally be over Kolaveris or Betorah. What's the what are you talking about here? We one time mentioned it. What is the idea, the central idea? Okay. Very simple, very simple. What it means is like this. See what he says? He says, Ki mitneho yehav matanos v'lo yichya. The pasuk sone matanos yichya. It means to say that he is not a schnarf. So, that's what it means. It means that psychologically, in every person's nature, there exists a certain element of schnurrei. See? I mean, there isn't a better word for it. That's it. There's a word for it that defines it properly. See? It means, that's what it means. Now, Solnei Matanos Yichya means a person who's not a schnurrer, a person who doesn't have that emotion, is Yichya. Why Yichya? Because that's the type of a life of a free man. Mm-hmm. A free man. A person is looking for somebody else to give him things, and he's involved in that type of mentality, you see, that he may think that it would be a great thing. But the truth of the matter is that frame of mind is a slave. That's the frame of mind of a slave. That's a schnarr. That type of mind, that mentality, and he thinks, of course, to him the only good would be if somebody would come along and give him $1 million. That's the ultimate dream. That's the highest schnarr fantasy. But the truth of the matter is that frame of mind is a very bad state psychologically for a person to live in. A person that is in that state of mind cannot really live.
He doesn't have any
freedom of mind. It's a certain type of mentality. He doesn't realize the attending psychological manifestations that go along with it. It's part of a whole framework. It's part of a whole mental framework. That framework is not a life. Not a life. A person can never have a good life that way. Impossible. Such a mentality can never have a good life. Okay?
What is the problem?
Actually, the framework that is produced it comes from going back to the early childhood where the child is dependent on the parents. He's trying to prolong that situation. But of course, if a person is that in that mental framework, he's not a free man. He's not a free man. He is a child. He's dependent on others. And that dependency is not, he can't be called living. That's not called living when a person has that dependency. So the same reason why he has the schnarr fantasy, see, is the same reason why he has that dependency. It's a psychological dependency also. It's a trap. And living in that dependent frame of mind is a life of torture. As much as he thinks the only way, of course, the problem is the person who has this frame of mind, he only looks for one way out of it. The ultimate schnarr fantasy. But the fact is that he, because of that, he stays trapped in that mental framework. And because he stays in that mental framework, he has no life. The Gemara says, Shlosha chayeyem einem chayem. One of them is hametzapa l'shulchan chavero. That's the same thing. I'm a tzapo shulchan chavero. I mean, the person that waits for somebody else to give him something. It's a frame of mind which is painful, and which is one in which his life is no life. That's why it says sone matanos yichya. Sone matanos means a person thinks to himself. Sone matanos means I don't want somebody to give me something. I want to be able to have it myself. That's right. I want to be able to work for my. I want to. Why should I think about somebody else? A fancy somebody else giving me something. I should get it myself. That type of person is a person who can live. A person who has the other type of mentality has no life. That's true. If you want somebody to treat you to the ticket, the sweepstakes ticket, then you've been Mikhail in the ultimate scholarship. But if you pay for the ticket, that's a different thing. The real scenario is a different thing. It's a rule. You can't be over that rule. Nothing goes out. Only things come in. Okay. Now we say like this. He says, the Yachnif b'nei Adam, he says, Afin him Rishoyim today she yitnu lo. And because of this, he will flatter people, even though they're Rishoyim, will flatter them in order that they should give him money. So you see, he becomes servile in personality also. There you see the personality becomes subservient. He becomes servile in personality. There, that's a further deterioration of the individual. See? Gam ki ito ma kesef mea matonos. And then when the money from the matanos runs out, he says, then necessity dictates that he should steal in order he should live. It's not just necessity. He says Laval Yamas Barov, but it's not just necessity really. The truth of the matter is, then why? What do you mean necessity? Why doesn't he get a job? Let him get a job. Why? What's the answer? The answer is because he's convinced at that point that the world owes him a living. See? That's the emotion. That's his conviction. The world owes him a living, and therefore if they owe it to him, there's two ways that they could repay him. Either willfully or voluntarily, right? Or else under coercion. So really, he doesn't consider himself a gunner. He considers himself taking his what is his due. See, sometimes you have to impress upon others to remind them of their obligations. So that's why he becomes a gunner. That's what he means. The volume is for up. It doesn't mean sakonis nefashis. Sakonis nefashis is a mutter, even for a person that's under any situation he'd be allowed to steal something in order to live. But it means he will never go to work. Because work is outside of his framework. Okay? The question is, can it exist in the psychological area also? In other words, if a person wants praise, he'll flatter others in order that he should get praise. But the thing is like this, you see, the point is, in that case, it's still an even, there's an exchange. There's an exchange. And if there's an exchange, there is no concept of being a schnorr. That's a business exchange. But over here, the schnorr wants the money. So therefore, he is giving honor for money because he doesn't really care about honor. He's getting the object that he values, he's not giving out. He's only taking in. See? That's the difference. You're right. There is an opposite. There are both desires. There's an opposite desire in man. The opposite desire is to be independent. That's right. But that's what it says. There's two desires that man has. One is for dependency. It's a conflict. It's a tremendous conflict. In everybody's psyche, underneath everybody's psyche, lies two opposing desires. One is for dependency, and one is for independence. But that's what it means. Sonei matanos yichya means the one who follows the independent force, he's the one that really can have a good life. The other one is going to be in trouble. The other one's going to be in trouble. He'll never be able to have a good life. That's the meaning of the mimer. Yeah, if the person pays money to get flattery, I would say that the person is not too well. I wouldn't want to have his life. Wouldn't want to be in his mind. But I would say this, that it shows a dependency. There's no question about it. It shows a dependency. A person that pays money in order to get flattery shows a tremendous dependency. And he's not a happy person. That's true. But it is not, I don't think it's as bad as the other case. I'll tell you why. Because since it really is a phenomena that goes back to an early stage of life, the actual early stage of life was with regard to the physical sustenance. That's why money really is. You don't call people a schnorrer because he wants a cover. Money, yes. Because really the original dependency was with regard to sustenance. And money is sustenance. See? That's why it's the most powerful expression of the emotion. That's why he says, he says, Ein matzor l'rucho v'lo yenuach v'lo yishkot ad yavar ap kol ha-mitzvos amores b'torah. Yeveres gereres avera. A very aggressive arrow. What does it mean? It means that once the person already, once he reaches the point, why did it, has it work? Has it work? Why would it be over called a Tarakola? The answer is like this. Because we said before that a person can take pride in either one of two types of phenomena. Either in regard to his physical material possessions he can take pride in, or he can take pride in his spiritualism. Now this person took pride in his spiritualism. Right? And that's why what happened was, but with regard to the material, he was above the phenomena of work. It was too demeaning for him. So now what happens is, however, that once he has to steal, once that emotion takes hold and he has to steal, then he loses the pride with regard to the spiritual also. And then he's over on Kol Tarkula. See, that's why eventually, so far Batela Vigorera, that's what it says. It's so far Batela Vigorera Sova. There's two parts of the statement. First, you have a Tom Tom Derek Yishna Mishkan Sova. Shows you how it works together. Then Kol Tarashani Mo Malacha Sofa Batela Vigorera Sova. Why? Because if it's without Malacha, so it means that he's involved in the spiritual haughtiness, then what happens is, what's going to happen to him? If he's going to become the servile personality, he's going to become under the illusion that everybody owes him a living, and therefore he will be over Averis in order to get the money, because he can't work. Work is impossible for him. So therefore what happens is, he will lose his spiritual haughtiness also, in his own eyes. Because since he does Averis, he loses his own self-respect. Then he throws everything away and that's it. See? That's how it works. That's the step-by-step deterioration. You see how amazingly Chazal had insight into the human personality. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's why it says, Yigir kapecha, kol hanenem yigir, yigir kapecha kishocha l'ashrecha v'tovloch. What does it mean? Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'tovloch l'olam haba. What does it mean? And ashrecha ba'olam hazeh means in this life, if a person has that frame of mind, he has a frame, so then he enjoys life because he feels like he has a certain self-respect and nobility to his character, so he can enjoy life. He doesn't feel subservient to everybody. That's Balaam Azeh. The Tovloch Balaam Abor, because since he lives properly, he's not over Averis, and he's able to live philosophically the right life, that he has for Balaam Abor. That's why he's buff. Okay, that's what I said. Alkein Tzarech L'Chacham She'yeda Malacha. See? Alkein Tzarech L'Chacham. Person is a great Chacham. She'yeda Malacha. That's Rabbi Yonah. Okay. It's an interesting Rashi. I just want to mention Rashi before we leave, because it's the last point of this. So yes, the Rashi says that Lesof Betel Ligra Avon Tach Kosev the Mishnah Fishi Eif Shelo Belo Mazonos V'Holech V'Toreach U'Malastem Es Abrios. And Rashi adds U'Meshakach Es Talmudo. He forgets his learning. What's the guy doing anything? Neshaka has Talmudo? Why should he forget his learning? What's the guy doing forgetting his learning? He's so busy stealing. Usually stealing doesn't take that much time. So why can't he learn? What does it mean in Neshaka has Talmudo? It means because once he can't, you see, there's an Isser deraisa for a person to forget his learning. Why doesn't he forget his learning? The Gemara says, Eina chayev ela adche mesiro melibo. How is a person Masiru Malibo? Because Chazal maintained that there are strong psychological factors involved in a person's retention of knowledge. And a person who has negative psychological feelings towards something, his memory starts failing him. He forgets. What it means is that once he's involved in Avera, and he's involved in conflict, then he can't tolerate the Torah that he has. Because the Torah that he has, it stands in open contradiction to his way of life. So he has to force himself to forget, and he starts forgetting it. See? Chazal maintained that the person's memory is dependent a lot upon his psychological energy. It's a lav nidereisa. It's a lav from the Torah. The person not to forget his learning. How does he forget his learning? What it means is that he emotionally finds himself in a state where the knowledge is a conflict to him. So therefore, he has only one recourse to resolve the conflict, and that is to learn. He starts forgetting the learning. Forgetting means it fades. It doesn't have the impact anymore. If it doesn't have the impact, there's no desire to retain it, so he starts forgetting it.
That's the way it works psychologically.
Really?
Interesting story they said from another guy, in that there was a... I remember the whole story. I remember that there was somebody... There was a case with a chassan that left... I don't know exactly how it worked out, but what happened was that somebody came back and claimed that they were the husband of this girl. And they were afraid that it was an imposter. So they didn't know how to find out whether he was an imposter or not. So they went to the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon said, ask him where he sat in shul on the day of his chasna. See? So he says, why? He says, because Russia will never think about something like that. He'll try to duplicate the person that's imitating exactly. But this will never enter his mind. He says, because this is an area of Kedusha, he says. He won't think about it. You see? But psychologically, that's really what Rashi's saying. Meshakech has Talmudo. Because since the man is is crooked, he doesn't think along those lines. Where he davened the day that he davening is out of the realm of his, he doesn't want to think about these things. You see, so that's how the story is supposed to be pretty authenticated. The story is everything that they question him and he didn't know. Yeah. So I mentioned last week that this doesn't negate what we mentioned about the. Yafet Talmatam Derecharet doesn't negate the concept of a kolel, because we said that the idea of a kolel is important for the sustenance and maintenance of Klal Yisrael in terms of Torah, and also it's not a contradiction to the institution of Yisachar and Zvulun, because that's a private affair where somebody privately wants to support somebody else's learning and actually shares in the Chelek Olam Haba with that person. Smach zuvulam b'tzei secha v'yisecha b'aralecha. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. The question is really, of course, why does that person share? A person gives somebody money to learn Torah, so why does he share the Torah with him? And all of my brother Gemara says they share. Shitfa. Why is that so? Why it's so is because we mentioned one time before that a person's station in Olam Haba is determined by his love for Torah. And this person who can't learn himself, so what if he supports somebody else to learn? So it shows his love of Torah. That's why it says, Smach zavulun b'tzei secha v'yisecha ba'alecha. You see? Smach means that the person, when he goes out to work, this person has a simcha, has a happiness. The happiness is because of his relationship with his love for Torah. And that's a separate, but that at any rate is a private institution. Private institution. But a person who simply is incapable of working because he feels that it's beneath his dignity, that is a total imperfection. Okay, that's total imperfection. Now, the question was raised last week, and I didn't really get the implication. I just want to clear it up. But the implication, I believe, was made that that a person, let's say, for instance, a person has enough to support himself, and there's no reason for him to go into work. Should he go to work just to perfect his midos? Because we said that the mimer means that that both together, the work and the Torah, perfect him. Because you understand? So let's say a person, for instance, has the means to sit and learn. Should he go to work just to perfect himself? What would you say? I want to make that clear. What would you say? You're definitely not. It would definitely be an absurdity. It would be a bittul Torah. No question about it. Why? Because the perfection, first of all, is only from the fact that he has to relate to reality the way God ordained that he should. That's the perfection. But if, in fact, there is no need for it, it would just be an absurd action. And if a person, however, what if you ask me if a person, we mentioned that there's two types of haughtiness that a person has, so maybe he'll walk around and he'll feel the haughty. Yeah, so there's ways to work on his midos. I mean, that's not going to correct the mid anyways. Because the situation is not the same. You can't duplicate the situation. I don't want anybody to get the impression that there's a perfection in what the Chazal are talking about is a work ethic. It's not a work ethic. There is no such thing as a work ethic in the Yadus. There's a reality ethic. And the work is a part of the recognition of reality, but there's no work ethic per se. Okay. The question is, Moenosh Kisiskereno. If you look at it objectively, so the Moenosh Kisiskereno. Even the greatest Chacham, what is he in the eyes of God? Nothing. So why should God really recognize even the greatest Chacham? Right? So the answer to this is something we don't understand. But you see that God does relate to man through his avas chachma. Now the question is, where you draw the line? You can't draw the line arbitrarily where we want to draw it. Maybe if a plain person sits and learns, he understands an idea, he understands something, he has a feeling towards Torah, that's also something God recognizes. Yeah. Who are we to say that we if you want to be objective about it, so our knowledge is nothing altogether. So we're all nothing. But you see, obviously, that God doesn't consider it that way. So we shouldn't put down somebody that's not a tremendous Talmud Chacham and learns a little Chumash and Rashi and enjoys it. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing. We can't decide where God should draw the line. I mean, that's absurd. So Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chacham Abad, the implication is if everybody that's a Shalma Torah Mitzvahs keeps the mitzvah, sits and learns, and he has to have some learning. He can't, without learning, he's the Shalma Torah Mitzvahs. It means he learns a little bit. But he's, the different levels of learning. But even that little bit is considered very valued. Very valued. I mean, this is insofar as he learns that little bit, whatever it might be, he's considered an Adam, considered a man. And insofar as considered an Adam, God relates to him. He has a chelk in Olam Haba. You can't put down somebody that you feel is beneath your level. It's not right. And you can't dictate to God where to draw the line. So you see. Now the thing is, with Yisachar and Zvulun, what it means is that Zvulun achieves his potential. That's what it means, they share. He achieves his potential of Avas Torah through the fact that he supports Torah. Of course, we're speaking about the ideal situation of Smach Zvulun, where he goes out on his ship, so he's very happy because of the fact that he's bringing Torah, a certain amount of Torah to the world. It's a true Ava. He really relates to it. It means he knows, he recognizes Torah. I'm talking about a person that doesn't have any concept of Torah whatsoever. It's not Zvulun, wasn't an Amaretz. Means that he has a concept of Torah, he learns, but he can't learn like Yisachar, can't spend that much full time at it. But he has this simcha, the enjoyment of the fact, the objective enjoyment that he is bringing to the world, the Chachmas Torah, and he enjoys and feels happy about it. Smach Zvulun Mitzvei Yisachar, feels very happy. So then that person has achieved a tremendous level of Ahavas Torah, and he fulfills his potential through his work. His potential of Avas Torah is fulfilled through his work. But that's what I think. I don't think it means that they both share the same chelek. I mean, it's not a matter of you can't take this and quantify it and say it's a quantified chelek and we split it in two. It's not a physical thing. What it means is that each one reaches his potential in his own way. The sharing is insofar as each one reaching his potential. That's what it means. Yeah, but if a person, the question was raised, if a person supports somebody else through guilt, I mean, of course, if anything, it's, insofar as it's low lishma, so it takes away from it, reduces it. But we can't judge, I mean, how much is there? There's no such thing as a clear-cut lines over here. Like we mentioned last week, a person is not, you can't just make clear-cut dividing lines. A person goes through different processes. Some things are lishma, some things are less lishma, there's different mixtures in everything that a person does. It's not just, you can't just say this is totally lishma and that's totally low lishma. Of course, the highest level of a person is totally lishma, but we have to realize that we go through various mixtures. And you can't, insofar as it's true, insofar as he does it just out of guilt, not because of Avas Torah, insofar as that's the case, it reduces it. But we don't know how much the person does out of how much out of guilt and how much, and maybe he has a spark of Avas Torah there. I mean, that's as far as he has that spark of Avas Torah, he definitely gets a chelek. But his primary, I believe the Rambam, says even by Avu Beno, so sometimes it's Beno Koda, right? His son is a greater intellect than he is, so his son comes first. But the Rambam says, Mikol Makom Lo Yevatelu, he himself shouldn't stop learning either. Question of the main, who's going to be spending their time doing the main learning. So if his son is a greater intellect, so he has to let his son advance because for the benefit of our Bratis Torah in general, he has to do that. But he has no right to sit back and not learn. If he doesn't learn at all, then it means simply he has no Avas Torah. Then the whole thing is crazy. You're just going to pay somebody, pay off somebody, what was it, a business deal, doing a business deal with God. No, that's ridiculous. It means that it's an expression of the Torah. Can't do such a thing. One thing you see from the case of Ovid Beno, you see that sometimes you have to give up your own experience of learning because of your general relationship to Torah, of your general relationship to of Avas Torah, general concept of Avas Torah. That's what you see from Ovid Beno. That's right. I just want to mention a point that's a little bit has to do with something we did in the past, but somebody raised a question, and it brought to mind an interesting shot in the Rambam. The question, we're dealing with the area, there's two points actually I noticed there. We're dealing with the area of the, a while ago, we're dealing with the area of the person being in the proper mean, person being in the proper mean, so that he should, in other words, between the different midos, he shouldn't be to any extreme, the importance of him being in the middle. Remember the area of psychological happiness, the importance of psychological happiness. So the Rambam mentions the question of the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, what was this chait? That Moshe Rabbeinu got angry and he hit the stone. So what was the chait? So the Rambam says that, he starts off, the chait was that he went to the side of Kas. In other words, a person, there are two emotions. One emotion is to be very meek and to accept and to be very tolerant. And the other emotion is to be angry. Angry means to exert your own, the exertion of your own will on reality. And the other way is totally to forget about it, to be accepting. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu in that instance went a little bit to the side of Ragzonis. Okay, so then he says, but Ragzonis means anger, a little bit to the side of anger. What? Rambam's in Perek Dalet of the Shemona Prakam, the end of Perek Dalet. So the Rambam's like this. He says that after he says that, he says, when this happened, so God really criticized him that a man like him should get angry before Klal Yisrael in a place where anger really wasn't fitting. He says, and something like that, for a person like that, would be a Chilul Hashem. Because they watched him, and the people watched him, and they learned from him, and they were hoping through him to reach the Hatzlacha, success in this world and in the next. Okay. But now the Lashon of the Rambam, I don't really have completely. Then the Rambam goes on and says like this. He says, how is it possible that anger should appear in Moshe Rabbeinu? Because it comes from a bad part of the human nature. Yeah. So he says, I'll explain to you what exactly it means, Marisim es pi b'mei Marivo. He says, he wasn't speaking to fools, the Rambam says. And he wasn't speaking to anyone, to people who don't have any high level of development, philosophical development. He says, because the Gemara says that even the women want a tremendous level of like a cheskel bambuzi. And everything that he says or did, they would question it. And when they saw that he got angry, they said, that it can't be that it's because of his imperfection. That's what they said. They said, and if it wasn't that he knew that God is angry at us because we asked for the water, and because we actually angered God, so then Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't be angry. He says, but in truth, we don't find that God was angry at them because they asked for the water. He says, but God said, Kachasa mate, he says, and give them water. That's what God told Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, and even though we went out of the area of this parak, but we answered one of the big doubts, one of the big problems in the Torah. Many people asked often, what was this sin? He says, and take a look at what they say and what we say, and the truth will show its way. Okay. Now, what is the answer of it? What is he saying? That's funny also, the way first he says that it was a Chilul Hashem that he got angry. And then he says, no, so you can say simply, that was a Chilul Hashem that got angry. Then he says, no, it wasn't a Chilul Hashem that he got angry. Because the people thought that he wouldn't get angry. So therefore, what do the people think? That God is angry. What is it? What's going on? What's this tremendous answer? He says, fantastic answer. So it sounds like this. See, Rambam starts off, he says that the chait, there's two parts to a chait. Every chait has two parts to it. First of all, there must be an imperfection on the part of the person. That's number one. But an imperfection on the part of a person alone is not a chait. A simple, if a person's emotions sway from one, just move from one direction to another during the course of his day, I mean, this is not a chait. Not a chait. That's what the Gemara says in Kedushin. Machshava ro'o eina kadosh baruch hu mitzraf olamaisa. That a person who has a bad thought, God does not consider this to be an action. Which means a human being constantly goes, vacillates. He vacillates. He has anger in his heart. He has jealousy. He has a lot of nidos keep going up, changing up and back. That's not considered a chait. Not considered a chait. Because see, there is no why. Because there is nothing really permanent about it. It's normal that the mind, different things occur to the mind. So at a given moment, if a person gets angry, you can't say it's a chait. When is it a chait? When it results in either one or two things. Either it results in harming somebody, or it's a fixed disposition in character. Of course, that definitely would be a chait, fixed disposition in character. Or if he does a halachic violation. That would mean that the imperfection became concrete. But if it just was a fleeting moment, that's not considered a chait. That's considered machshava ra. Machshava ra ain't a kadosh baruch hu mitzraf ala maisa. So that, you see, perfection, it's like the Rambam says, the philosophers say, it's almost impossible to find somebody that's naturally perfected. It's almost impossible. So therefore, everyone has imperfections. Now, given that we have imperfections, our perfection is not to obliterate imperfection, because it's impossible. But our perfection is to recognize the different emotions that we have and to put them through a process of investigation and then control them. So therefore, perfection isn't a natural thing. Now, since perfection isn't a natural thing, in the course of perfection, you're going to have various emotions go through the system, unless you're dishonest. But if a person is honest with himself, he has to have various emotions go through that he has to investigate. That being the case, that's what I told you, I remember mentioning last time, that a person who is a chacham is a different kind of life. Because there's a certain station that he has in his mind that things stop at, and he investigates, and then he makes the move, where it just doesn't flow naturally. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that over here also. The Rambam says that everybody that looks into his ways, you see, zochev roa b'yeshuasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenema v'shom derech erenu b'yesh elokim al tikri v'shom ele v'som v'asimo hi hashir v'asvar. That's what he says. What is the simo? Sheer evaluation and svar and reasoning. You see? So the Rambam says that means kol ha-samar chosav, he sees the issue of God. It means a different kind of a life. A whole different kind of life. That's the pasuk. Some derech erenu b'yesh elokim. That's a different type of process. That's the process Rambam talks about. That's why if a person in the process of investigating, it means it's an investigative process, which means different thoughts come up to him. Different thoughts. He might get angry at one time. Doesn't mean that he's something wrong with him because he got angry for a moment. It's only if the anger, if in the process of analysis the anger was the final outcome, then it's a chait. But just because it happened to occur to him, it's not a chait. It's an interesting thing. The Gemara says that by Yisrael, God does not consider machshav ra ain hakadosh baruch hu mitzraf ala maisa. But the Gemara says that by a guy it's not true. By a guy machshav ra hakadosh baruch hu mitzraf ala maisa. What's the answer? Why God isn't fair? What's that? I mean, guy has a shev mitzvah. Why should it be different? What's the answer? Exactly. Because what it means by the guy, it means the guy is Adam ki yomus ba'ohal, it says. Atem kriyam Adam. Ve'ein umas olam kriyam Adam. Why? Why is Atam Kriyam Adam? Because you have a system of Torah. So you have a different type of life altogether. Where every emotion is analyzed and investigated and gone over and traced and understood, and then you do the action. That's Adam. That's the level of Adam. But the Umos Olam aren't on that level. They just follow instinctually from their emotions. So therefore, their Machshava Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzrach Olamaisa. Because that's really where it stays. That's it. That's it. Yes, sir. It's general. Chazal is a general Chazal. It doesn't mean every single one. Naturally. So, now, the thing is like this. That's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means that the people, see, the Rambam emphasizes, stresses the fact that they were, so there's two things, that have to be involved in the chet. One is the person's weakness, and secondly, what the result is. Now, the Rambam says, he starts off by saying his chet was the weakness. But then you're stuck with a problem. But the weakness of getting angry really didn't do anything. Because the people wouldn't think that he's angry. So what's wrong? So now the question is, since it didn't result in anything, so there is no chet again. It's just a momentary thing. They get angry for a moment. So what? It's only if it led to a chet that there's a problem. Because if it didn't lead
to an action, you know, it's
no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Rambam is not satisfied with the fact that he hit the rock. Because that's not an action. An action means either you did an avera or you actually caused harm to somebody. And this is neither. So the people wouldn't think he got angry. So the Rambam says, yeah, but the thing is like this. It's true they wouldn't think he got angry, but because of that it was a chilul Hashem. Why? What he means is as follows. That the people were analytical, and they studied Moshe Rabbeinu very carefully, and they tried to learn from him perfection. So he says, now they thought that God was angry at them for asking for water. Now, since it's necessary for a person to have the proper psychological mean in order to be on a level for the philosophical, so they thought that they were wrong in where they drew the line of necessity. And since they felt bad that they were wrong, so therefore they were warped. Those who followed him were warped. And since they were warped, so that prevented them from reaching perfection and from seeing God. That's why it was a chilul Hashem. That's what the Rambam means. Philosophical perfection means knowledge of God. That's the ultimate philosophical perfection, because God is the source of reality. So therefore, in order for a person to have that perfection, he has to have two things. He has to have a healthy, hell has to be healthy psychologically, the Rambam says, physically, psychologically, and then he has to be healthy in terms of philosophically. Now what happened was when Moshe Rabbeinu made the people think that God was angry, so therefore they felt that they were, that their assessment and their evaluation of their personal lives in terms of the mean, psychological mean, was wrong. So therefore they distorted their own psychological mean. Once they distorted the psychological mean, then they caused themselves harm. Because if you distort it, it's just as harmful. Either way, the Rambam says.
But then you thought it was real.
That's right. And once you distort it, so then you're going to lose out on the philosophical. That's what the Rambam maintains. So therefore, he caused people to lose out in the philosophical. That's why it was a chilul Hashem. Because to cause people to lose out in the philosophical means, you prevent people from really seeing God. That's why he was nenash. That's why the Rambam... And why he got angry, which Ram doesn't discuss, one time mentioned, was that the fact that it was a tremendous undertaking that it was involved in taking Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And when a person is involved in the mission, he has a certain objective. And we said that really the person that's 100% on the highest level never really sees the objective. He's not after the objective. See? He has to have two things. He has to have the objective in mind, but the only thing that he does is that which reality dictates at the time. And we said for that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the objective might be lost. He was afraid the objective might be lost if they rebel. He was upset with the possibility of the whole of all his life's work should be lost because they're going to hitting the rock was an expression of impatience. That's what it was. See? So there was... The Rambam does not accept... That's the way other pshatim say that. His say was that he hit the rock. The Rambam doesn't accept that. Because the Rambam... What's the difference? Hit, talk, who cares? They didn't interpret it as real anger. They interpreted it as him demonstrating anger. Different thing. A momentary display of emotion is not considered an action. It's only if it causes harm to somebody. That means that if it causes harm to somebody, because then you should have thought what might happen. It shows that you're not thinking. You're not thinking of the results. But it was just if you could have a display of emotion where there's absolutely no effect, that this is like a machshavah. That's why Chil Hashem is measured by the person. That's why Chil Hashem is measured by the particular individual. Because Chil Hashem means that you prevent others from attaining a knowledge of God. That's what it means. And it depends on the person. An average person's action, unless it's really bad one, nobody watches him. So therefore, it's not a Chil Hashem. But a person who people watch, so if he should do something that would prevent others, because of his actions, of attaining knowledge of God, that would be a Chil Hashem. And according to the Rambam, the main thing was Shimon HaMorah, where he said Shimon, he called him Morah. Therefore, he says, V'chol ha'amelim imatzibor, you are melim imorim l'shem shemayim. Those who work with the tzibor should work with the tzibor lishma. Sheschus avosa mesayatan. It's a funny memory. It's hard to even flame shadows there, though. Sheschus avosa mesayatan, because the tzibor's schus avos helps the tzibor. V'tzidkasan omedes la'ad. Va'atem, and you who work, malani aleichem schar harbe ki'ilu asizem. I give you a lot of reward as if you did it. Rams like this. Ratzalama b'derech eretz. Yeah, it's funny, Ram. Rams like this. The Rambam says, Va'atem mala. What does it mean? It says you should be osik with a tzibur v'shem shemayim. Okay? It says like this. It says, Va'atem mala ani aleichem sochar harbe kilo asisem. So it runs like this. Kilo asisem devar Hashem la'amelim im atzibur shepomim sheyimnu me'asos mitzvah be'esis askom b'tzorche tzibur. Sometimes, because they work with tzorche tzibur, so they will refrain from doing the mitzvah. They have to forego a mitzvah. V'omar she'Hashem yisbarach yala aleihem schar kilo asa mitzvah. So God will shemayim. So God will consider it as if they did the mitzvah, which they missed by working with the tzibur. Yeah, it's a funny thing. Isn't osik for the tzibur, isn't that a mitzvah itself? So we have an old klal that osik the mitzvah is putim in a mitzvah. So why don't we say all the time, the person is osik mitzvah, he's put from another mitzvah, so God gives him reward for the mitzvah that he lost. I mean, as if he what's he going to do with it? The thing is like this. What does it mean being osik b'tzorchei tzibur? Being osik b'tzorchei tzibur of necessity means that the person has to get involved with the haman. Means he has to get involved with the Hamas. Now there's a reluctance for on the part of people to get involved with it, with the Hamas, with the masses. Why? Several reasons. Some just playing Gaiva because he feels on a higher level. We're not talking about that. But the reason is an important consideration would be that if I get involved with the people, with the Hamas. So I have to. You can't get involved with the Hamon without really speaking their language. I mean, you have to get involved with them. You start talking with them, and therefore you have to act on their level. You have to speak to relate to them on their level. Now, since once you do that, once you relate to them on their level, so there's always a danger of getting drawn into their way of thinking. You have to go. You have to talk to this one, to that one. It starts talking about his. His own philosophy. He starts talking about the important things in his life, nonsensical things. So there's a chance of, and you have to act. You have to act with him, and as if he's really saying something that's important. You have to go along with him. You can't be osik with a tzibur without really having an identification with him. So the problem is that this is something which reduces a person, reduces his level, because now he has to act on the level that the tzibur is on, and this is bad. It reduces his level, it puts his mind, he's not an actor, so he has to really summon up those emotions and get involved in these things emotionally. So it reduces his level. So therefore one would think that perhaps he shouldn't do it, because he's going to lose his own perfection. And that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means by the other mitzvah, the Rambam doesn't mean the other mitzvah, a particular mitzvah. By the other mitzvah he means that the whole day of a person is really structured according to the Torah to reach perfection through the mitzvahs. That's the way the Torah is structured. So when a person's osek b'tzorchei tzibur, so it means he has to forego his own personal perfection. And on the contrary, he has to be involved with the tzibur, and he has to get involved on their level. So therefore, he feels he's losing his own personal perfection. He doesn't want to do it. So the Mishnah says no. That on the contrary, that if he does that, he will he has as much schar. God rewards him, which means to say that he has the exact same schar because he's doing it l'shem shemayim. Because he's doing it l'shem shemayim, which means to say that that is just as great a perfection, even a greater perfection, because the underlying motivation is l'shem shemayim.
That's right.
That's what the Mishnah started. Action. Even though the person in action really would seem like he's involved with the Hamor. But if, because his motivation is l'shem shemayim, so he's on a different level. And he has the reward. What? No. On the contrary, his madrega will not go down. Because the underlying motivation is l'shem, as long as the underlying motivation is l'shem shemayim. Of course, if it's personal, then it will go down. Because that means he's personally involved. But it means he has to be involved in a totally objective way. He's involved in an objective way, l'shem shemayim, then his level will not go down. That's the Rambam.
What to define that perfection?
Being osek with the tzibur is the highest perfection. That itself is to be able to be osek with the tzibur, l'shem shemayim, is the highest perfection. Because there is a tendency to be osek shelo l'shem shemayim. To really be osek shelo l'shem shemayim means to be totally objective. He's just doing it for the sake of the tzibur, because it's God's will that this tzibur should exist, and Haim b'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and therefore he does it. That's a tremendous life, highest level. That you have to understand, there's a certain emotion of isolationism. That people, like, they isolate themselves, and they feel that there's a certain way, it caters to a certain narcissistic emotion, really. A person likes to isolate himself, and he feels he's superior to others, doesn't want to bother with the tzibur. This is very bad. Chazal recognizes it's a very bad midah. Very bad midah. That's right. That's Altifa Shemar Tzibur. You're right. That's most of the time, the reason why people don't want to be asked with the tzibur is because they feel they're above the tzibur. That's wrong. Tzibur is the person of Mechuyif to recognize the tzibur. Hey, Ben Yav Mitzvah Yaakov, like the Rambam says, and Mechuyif to help them and try to do everything he can for the tzibur. Tremendous level. Tavas Hashem. Okay. V'chol ha'melim im atzibur, Rabbeinu Yonah says, you oskin imon l'shem shemayim. So what does that mean? He says like this, lo l'eschabed, Rabbeinu Yonah says, not to gain honor, v'lo l'hunos mehem, not to benefit from the tzibur, v'lo l'star aleihem, and not to l'star means to be a lord over them, not to be a master over them, elalan higam b'derech yeshara. Just three things: not to get covered, not to benefit, star aleihem means exert a mastery over them. See, really there's really three basic instincts. See, one is for covered makes a person feel very good. That's the first one. That's the primary one, actually. Then he mentions lehonos mehem would mean to benefit or have a gain or go or work with a tzibur, so somebody will help him out in business, get a good business deal because of that. That's lehonos. That's again not l'shem shemayim. Money, monetary. Then the third level is lestara. Lestara means simply there's an enjoyment in exerting mastery over other people. See, that's the key. That's what they told Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to exert your mastery? Right, that's right. That's to be the boss. See? That emotion, to be the boss. So there are people that don't really care for honor and don't care for the material benefits. But they enjoy the acting out, being the boss, being exerting the mastery over other people. Those three emotions, he says. Okay. That's not l'shem shemayim. What? That was Dasam Aviram, yeah. Nigam Elalan Nigam Baderach Yeshara. Vakol L'shem Shemayim. What helps the tzibur is the schus avos. Now, what's this? In other words, what you do, you think you're helping the tzibur, you're making a mistake. It's the schus of the avos that's helping the tzibur. What does it mean? It means that it's the ashgacha. The tzibur is under the ashgacha. and that's Hashgachas Hashem that's accomplishing it. It's not like, well, it's like the Rambam says in the Gemara, that the Hashgacha relates to the Tzibur, not to the Yachid. And that's why, really, when the Spal, the Rav one time said before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, one time said that the main thing that a person should have in mind on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that he should have a good din, is he should have in mind his whole life should be, his life should be tied to the Tzibur. He says, because that's the only way that we could really feel secure in din. Only insofar as we're part of the Tzibur. Why? Because then you're under the Ashgacha of the Tzibur. He says the Yachid, he says as long as you're a Yachid and you remove yourself from the Tzibur, he says, then all you can do is say Tzidek Adit. That's it. Yeah. Because it depends. I mean, unless the person's like the Rambam says, a tremendous tzaddik or novi, so you can be sure he's always under the Ashgacha. But he says that the way that the person's not on the level of a regular person. So the only way that he can really be sure, he can hope to have a good gzar din. I mean, be sure, he can never be sure, but you have to know what the Ashkenazi know what the Ashgacha is. But the only way he can be under the Ashgacha is to become part of the Tzibur. You see, so that's what he says. He says that the Tzibur is sheschus avosam nisayatom v'tzidkasam medes la'ad she'atem oskim imoem v'tzorchem nasmo yadim lo'atem garmin. You're not the cause of the Ashgacha. So what is that going to do with before? Sheh Zechus means it's related. How is it related? It means that if a person has that knowledge, then he really can do it, then he can really work with Shem Shemayim. Since the Tzibur really, the reason why the Tzibur succeeds is not because of my actions, but the Tzibur succeeds because of the Ashgacha. So therefore, my action can only be understood as doing God's will. That's it. It's not even the results aren't mine. There's no way that I can even take pride in the results. So the only way I can work with the Tzibur is L'Shem Shemayim. If I can take pride in the results of my action, so then that's not L'Shem Shemayim. It seems like, you know, I'm happy. I'm the one that's responsible. But by the Tzibur, it's all the Ashgacha. Since it's all the Ashgacha, it's Chus Avosom. So therefore, the only proper way that a person should relate to the Tzibur, the only proper way to relate to the Tzibur is L'Shem Shemayim, which means that it's simply God's will, and that's why I do the action. That's it. It's only the action that I'm doing. You see, the only thing that I could say is that this action is God's will. Cannot even take pride in the results. That's what the memory means. Yes. Doesn't mean if a person has emotions there, you should refrain from helping the Tzibur. That would be crazy.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we should help the Tzibur and recognize the emotions and don't let them fool you. That's what I tried to say before. It doesn't mean the person has no emotions. He has emotions. He still can work with Shem Shemayim. I'm not talking about a malach, I'm talking about a person. A person has emotions, and when he works with the Tzibur, he has different emotions. But as long as he has that ability to bring all the emotions to the center where he can investigate them and he can recognize them and work them through, he should do it. Well, isn't that not a malach? It means that the danger is where a person really is overcome by the emotion. The danger is not emotions. Shouldn't be afraid of emotions. Should be afraid of letting an emotion overpower your mind that you can't investigate it. No such thing. Everybody has emotions. There's nobody in the world who doesn't have emotions. So he works with the Tzibur, he has different emotions, but he should be able to understand the emotions and understand them in their proper perspective. That's called L'Shem Shemayim. L'Shem Shemayim, that's L'Shem Shemayim is for a person, for another. Atem mala ani aleichem ki ilu asisa. Klomar, afa pishes chosavosam esayatom, v'tzorcheim naasin bischosavoseim v'lo al yedechem. Even though it's true that the reason why things are accomplished is because the Ashgacha is involved, he says, atem aoskim, you who work with the Tzibur, ma'alani aleichem kilu nasekol tzorcheim al yedechem ubeschuschem. Rabbeinu Yonah, yeah. He says that I consider it as if everything that happened was done because of you. That's what he said. So it's a funny thing. So you come back to where you started from. Because first you say, yeah, first you say that you person shouldn't think that I accomplished it. No, I didn't accomplish it. And now I'm giving you reward as if you accomplished it, even though you didn't accomplish it. What's the pshat? No. What the pshat is that this is precisely what we said, that the person should not, the person who's osek with the Tzibur, actually ties into Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was osek with the Tzibur over there. The person is osek with the tzibur should recognize that the success of the tzibur depends upon the ashgacha. So therefore, he can't take pride in any success, because that's the ashgacha. If the success is supposed to be, fine. If not, it wouldn't be. It's not up to him. It's chus avosam nesayata. However, if he va'atem mala ani alechem schar harbe kilu asisem, it means I give you the same reward as if you actually accomplished it. It means a person that operates on that level of perfection has the reward for the involvement, which is if he actually brought it about, but not that he really did bring it about, but he has the reward for the involvement. What it means is that the person who's osek in the tzibur has the reward for the act of involvement. You see, ki'ilu asisa. Ki'ilu asisa means the schar is, yeah, as if he accomplished it. Because the schar is for the involvement. It's a case where the involvement, it's God's will that the people should be involved. And even though the success is not because of their action, success is because of Ashgacha, but still, the reward that they have is because they did the proper action in terms of their involvement. As if, the reward is as if they really accomplished it. That's what it means. The reward is commensurate with the results, even though the results are not caused by the action. It doesn't mean to say, of course, that whatever a person does, I mean, there's no results at all. But it means to say that there is a special ashgacha that goes with the tzibur. That's what it means. Yeah, once you have the, once you know there's a special ashgacha that goes with the tzibur, so then you know that you can't really take pride in your, in the face of the fact that there's a special ashgacha that works with the tzibur, you can't really feel, you can't take pride in your efforts. You see? That's what it means. It doesn't mean to say that nothing occurs under the laws of nature with regard to the tzibur. It's not trying to deny that, but it's saying that there is a special ashgacha that works with the tzibur, and therefore a person can't take pride in the result, because the result could be due to that special ashgacha. That's what it means. Why are the people to get together and they build a shul? So a lot of things can happen that would prevent them from being successful in constructing a shul. So while you can feel, while things will work with law of nature, but there's a separate ashgacha, insofar as the construction of shul is concerned, there's a separate ashgacha, so that you can't take pride in the final outcome and say, I'm the one that did it. Because it could very well be that without the special ashgacha, it would not have come into existence. That's what it is. Of course, naturally, I mean, if nobody did anything, of course, the ashgacha is not going to construct a shul either. Doesn't mean that we're doing away with the phenomena, with the laws of nature. That's crazy. We don't believe such a thing. Everybody go to sleep and the shul come magically. Now, it means to say that the actions that we do have natural results. It's true, but the ashgacha is working there also. So who knows what catastrophes could have befell as the shul and would have prevented it from coming to existence. Since the ashgacha is there, the ashgacha cleared the way, so therefore you can never say that it's a result of your direct result of your actions. That's what it means. There's a special ashgacha with the tzibur. Okay.
Sunday, March 25th, 1984. Pirkei Avos. Perek Beis.
Alright, so we're discussing, remember, that says, V'chol ha'oskim im ha'tzibur, you oskim im ha'm l'shem shamayim. Sh'chus ha'vosam nisayata. Alright. You consider the fact that you work with the tzibur as if you did it yourself. Okay, so the question is, I mean, of course, obviously, what's the meaning of the memra? What's the memra pointing out? So Rabbeinu Yonah says a different pshat. Says a second pshat. So like this. V'yesh l'farash od. He gives another pshat. L'val toma, you shouldn't say, Mali ulitzara azos l'tzroch b'tzorch etzibur. Why do I have to have this whole bother to work with the tzibur? V'af ki yasu tzedakah al yedei lohem, and even if they do tzedakah through the money that the tzibur has, because of course when you work with the tzibur, so it's really not your money, it's the tzibur's money. So you're working, you're controlling the money of the tzibur, and you're helping them expend it in the proper way. So the person will say that it's not really my reward. It's the money that's being used is the tzibur's money. Shein l'chol lachshav b'davar zeh. You shouldn't think that way. Why? Ki kiflayim teitiv b'avuram. Because you'll be able to do double
It'll be better for you double because of them. Why?
Since the tzibur has chus avos, v'satzlichu b'maaseihem, me'ashatucha latzlich b'maasecha, she's chus avos meruba.
Because the chus avos is very great.
U'mala ani alecha schar ki'ilu asisu mishallah chesakol. U'kilu mikischa nasata asher nasnu heim al yadecha.
And it's as if the money that was given you gave yourself.
V'incha marviach betochecha b'maaseihem me'ashem tachich latzmecha.
And you'll profit with your work with the tzibur. You'll profit more than if you would work yourself.
Ki ma'aseihem merubim mima'asecha. U'b'chol asher ta'osa Hashem atzlich b'yadecha.
Whatever you do, you'll be successful.
Sheschus avos u'mesayatam.
V'chein, therefore, osek b'tzorchei tzibur.
A person that works with the tzibur, meitiv latzmo har be'me'od.
He helps himself tremendously.
U'b'vad sheyischaven li l'shamayim.
The only thing is that he should be doing l'shen shamayim.
Okay.
We'll leave the last part for later.
What is the gist of what he's saying? What is he trying to say?
The Rabbeinu Yonah.
He's saying basically that the tzibur has chus avos.
And therefore,
if you work with the tzibur, you'll have more success.
Because there's a special hashgacha.
Right?
Alright, so what? I mean, so obviously, so that's what you should do.
It's obvious, that's the way you should do it.
And what is he saying? He says, no, you shouldn't say to yourself, look, it's their money. No, it's they're going to get the schar. No, you're going to get the schar. As long as you do l'shem shemayim.
And what is the point?
But the point is over here. He says, but see, the thing that's difficult to understand is he says that if you work with the tzibur, it's their money. What does that mean? You shouldn't give money to the tzibur. That doesn't make any sense. If you're working with the tzibur, so you should, obviously, if you can give money, you're going to give the tzedakah to help the tzibur. So it's your money too. What does it mean it's their money?
Does he mean to say that you should better work with the tzibur with their money than to give your own money?
Well, that's advice a lot of people like to take. You know, having to work with the tzibur,
it's worth more.
Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that you're free from giving your own money. It means that you're mechuyev to give whatever you can, and besides that, you work with the tzibur.
What is a leval tama? What is a leval tama?
What he means is like this. You see, that there is an emotion against working with a tzibur.
There's an emotion against... Actually, this whole memory really... is a memory that has to do with the emotions that a person has towards the tzibur.
See?
And Chazal, the derech of Chazal is, they identify the emotions and they show you where the emotions are wrong and they tell you what the straight path is. That's the method of the Chazal. You see?
Now it comes like this, that there are two types of emotions, two opposing emotions.
Some people, some people dislike working with the tzibur.
Why?
Because working with the tzibur, the individual gets lost. So there's no personal narcissistic satisfaction.
See?
On the other hand, there's another emotion that a person has that he works with the tzibur.
People always volunteer to work. There are people that volunteer to work with the tzibur.
There are people like that because they're gregarious people. They enjoy the social intercourse and therefore they work with the tzibur.
So you have some. That's why usually, when it's left to the emotions, the way it is in our society, because most people don't really work through thought, but they operate purely on an emotional, or based on an emotional reaction.
Tell them this is a nice cause, we'll get together.
So it depends on the emotions of the individuals that you hit.
Certain people's emotions enjoy this type of thing, they're the ones that come forth.
The other people, some people are negative, they have a dislike, even a hatred for a tzibur, like they don't like the idea of a tzibur.
Because a tzibur really is something which takes away their personal pride. Their personal narcissistic ego.
So therefore, they hate the tzibur. They don't like to work with the tzibur.
They like to work on an individual basis.
Now over here, what he's saying is that this memra really was stated against both emotions.
You see, originally he says, Laval toma. You shouldn't say. What shouldn't you say? You shouldn't say, doesn't mean you shouldn't give money if you can afford to give money to help the tzibur. That's not a p'tur to work with the tzibur instead of giving money. I mean, some people do that, in fact.
Yeah, but that's really not not the correct thing.
But what it means is like this, that when you work with the tzibur, so you're only a very small part of the whole. And therefore, the satisfaction emotionally is very small because your whole action is completely loses identity. It's glossed over because it's lost in the whole framework of the tzibur.
So therefore, a person will say, why should I go and bother to work with a tzibor? Because the reward is not going to be mine personally. It's their money that they're giving. Behold, the bulk of the money really belongs to the tzibor. So therefore, he doesn't feel the personal satisfaction. So that's why Chazal say, no. That on the contrary, he should work with the tzibor. Why? Because since the tzibor has a special schus, and whatever they do, whenever they invest their money, whatever activities they do, there's a special schus that works within the tzibor. So therefore, the individual will really be gaining the most. You see, you'll be gaining the most by working together with the tzibor. Dollar for dollar, he'll be gaining the most because he'll have the most success out of his money. And the important thing is, in a person doing a mitzvah, the important thing that a person should consider is not the personal satisfaction that he gains out of the mitzvah, but rather the benefit, the ultimate benefit that he brings about, that he brings into existence. And since in the situation of tzibor, dollar for dollar, he will be able to effectuate a greater good, so that's why he should be involved with the tzibor. And that's why it says that mala ani alechem schar ki ilu asisem. It means that there's two types of schar. There's the schar that appears to the person's surface. When he takes a look at the surface, he only sees the schar in terms of his own emotions. How much he gave, how much he did, his identity. That's the personal satisfaction that he gains out of the schar, you see. But the real schar, the schar that exists in reality, is in terms of how much he really effectuates and how much his efforts were really converted into the good. So what the memory is trying to tell you is that a person should really look not at the not at his personal satisfaction, but rather he should look at the effect, the ultimate effects and benefit of his involvement. And with the tzibor, he will be gaining the most. So he should forfeit the emotion of losing his personal identity, and he should follow reason, which tells him that every activity that he does towards the good should really be done in a way that he gains the utmost from that activity. That's really what the memra says. That's why it says mala nischar lechem kilo asisem. It means that in reality, since this person was involved in a much greater degree, to a much greater degree of bringing about a benefit than if he would have operated on his own, he should realize that that is the true. The true benefit is that benefit which God recognizes the individual is involved in, not the emotional satisfaction that he gets out of being a philanthropist. But the true satisfaction should be according to the way God sees it. That's the goal that a person's mind should be attached to. Should be attached to the way God sees it in reality. And since in reality, by doing this, he's really accomplishing the greater good, so therefore he gets a much greater reward, and everything that is done is really attributed ultimately to him insofar as his part is concerned, which is far greater than if he would have operated on his own. In other words, what it's telling the person to do is to forfeit the seeming goodness which he's trying to project, and operate on the basis of the good that he brings about in terms of reality. Now, since we have a factor in tzibor, a hidden factor of schus avos, that there's a special ashgacha that works with a tzibor, so therefore the person should intend really to bring about the greatest good, and that in that way he will gain much more. He'll have much more reward, much more schar. Why much more schar? Because his mind's eye, his intention is really towards the real good that is taking place, not towards the good that appears to be due to his action. Because there's no appearance with the tzibor. The tzibor, you're lost. The identity of the individual is lost. That's the way Rabbi Niona explains it. See, but it's interesting, he adds, he said, Ubuvachi eschavein libo l'shamayim. What does it mean, Ubuvachi eschavein libo l'shamayim? Why does he add that thing? Ubuvachi eschavein libo l'shamayim. What is that? That's very important that he has that. Uvachi yischavim libo l'shamayim. What does it mean? Ubuvachi yischavim libo l'shamayim means like this. That precisely what you're saying. That a person can translate anything into a glorification of his own ego. Now, once a person knows that this really is the greater way to do it, so therefore what he could do is he can attach his emotion to that. And that'll be the satisfaction of his narcissistic ego. You see? that he is accomplishing the great good. Yeah, I'm the great guy. I recognize this pitfall. So therefore, I'm doing it the right way, and now I really am responsible for all the good that the Tzibor brought about. See? Then he forfeits it. Then he forfeits it. Because then the man is just trying to take the world of the psychological ego, you see, and to apply it to another, to an enlightened case. In other words, he's gained a little knowledge, so what he's going to do now is apply that same ego satisfaction to the... to this new idea. So he says, no, then you lose it. Then you lose it again. So the only way that he could do it is really to be in line with the emotion, which is that he should do the, that he should really be, that the good is to actually, to bring about the good. In other words, a person should be in line with the enjoyment of the fact that this is the proper way of life. That should be a satisfaction. If this is the proper way of life, and that I must use my efforts really to bring about the good. The good itself should be the satisfaction. See, if the good is the satisfaction, of course, initially, then he would never have the pitfall. But we see most people emotionally, it's not that simple to overcome this emotion. So therefore, most people want the idea that they want the idea of the great accomplishment. The great accomplishment is lost when an individual plays a part of the role in the T-board. Now, even though the accomplishment of bringing about the objective is greater, yeah, but he's losing the emotional accomplishment, right? So the member is trying to tell you that you should be in line with the true accomplishment, not with the emotional accomplishment. That's what it's telling you. But, however, it says, because it's always possible for a person to take the real accomplishment and to attach to it, to bring it into the framework of the emotional. So then again, he's in the same situation. Now he's walking away. He says, yeah, I'm not a stupid guy that wants my ego. I mean, I really, I know. I want to really do the real good. That's what I'm involved in. That was really hard to do. It's even harder. It's even a greater accomplishment. See, then he's not being mechaven liwo shamayim. Then he's caught in the same emotion that he started out with to try to avoid. So therefore, the only perfection is, that's why I said, uvachi mechaven liwo shamayim, it means that the person should, in this situation, take advantage of the situation. And what he should do is, he should do the action which really gives him only one satisfaction, that he's actually involved in doing the good, and even though his personal achievement is lost, if he can do that, then he has tremendous chah. But if he doesn't do that and he works with the tzibor because of his own glorification, then again the whole thing is lost. In other words, it's a situation where the right action is dictated by, on the surface, the right action will be dictated by a certain emotion, a certain correct emotion, a certain correct attitude. But of course, there's always a danger that even that thing can be converted into the narcissistic satisfaction. So it says that the person, the only way the person can really have schar of being osik with the tzibor is where he's in line with the true good, and he does it for the good sake, not because of his own personal satisfaction. That's the memory, that's the second shot according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. I mean, the determinant should always be the ultimate good that the person brings about.
As long as that's the...
Yes, that's true. That's true. It is a general thing that a person, the emotions the emotions generally have a comeback. Because first the person learns that the emotions are crazy and he starts operating through what his mind tells him is real. But then the emotions many times reassert themselves and establish themselves based on the new ideas.
And then it's hard
like,
to detect
yeah. Yeah. That's basically, that's true. Because, you see, the thing is like this. You have to understand, why is it mentioned over here with regard to the tzibor, this memra? Because the tzibor is really the antithesis of the ego. The tzibor represents the antithesis of the ego in general. Because the tzibor is a situation where what you're saying actually is, to work with a tzibor means you have to bring yourself down to the level, a certain level of equality with others, which is very painful, which is a very painful emotion. That's why to work with a tzibor takes away from a person's individuality and the concept that he is so different and so superior to everybody else. That emotion is a very powerful emotion. That's why Chazal pointed out the importance of working with a tzibor. The tzibor is the antidote to that emotion. Work with a tzibor. A person has a person's problem is that he feels a superior, identifies himself as a superior being. He can't tolerate being with a tzibor. Tzibor, being with a group, I'm part of the group, I'm just another part of the group. That's something which goes against his whole makeup. So working with the tzibor really is a is something which brings about the perfection of loss of the narcissistic ego. That's really the essence of the member. There's another thing. There's another thing in Bilvachiyachavan Libel Hashemayim. Of course, there's something else also. Bilvachiyachavan Libel Hashemayim means that there is another danger in involved in the tzibur. You see, another danger which you mentioned last week. That's the first pshat that he says. Lo lechove v'lo lehonos man v'lo lestara lehem. That's the other danger. We mentioned that last week. There's two pshatim u'bavachiyachavan libel Hashemayim. One pshat, the first pshat u'bavachiyachavan libel Hashemayim, means that there is a certain petty enjoyment in being involved in the tzibur. He considers himself important, and he's running the tzibur, and he's that's a different emotion. That's the emotion. That's the first pshat u'bavachiyachavan libel Hashemayim. But the second pshat is a different pshat u'bavachiyachavan libel Hashemayim. It means that he shouldn't partake of the personal. He shouldn't convert this into a personal satisfaction. Two different pshat. Vatem mala nischar aleichem kilo asisem. What it means like this. It means that's the real schar. Vatem mala nischar aleichem kilo asisem. You think that you're lost in the group, and therefore you feel that you don't have any satisfaction. But the truth of the matter is that this is really your personal the way God sees it. In reality, you have accomplished more than the person who feels that he's done everything himself. You see? It means the real schar. Vatem mala nischar aleichem kilo asisem means you have to look at the real schar, the way God looks at it, not the way your emotions define it. That's what it means. We're using the word accomplishment in two ways. There's accomplishment the way people feel they did something. That's not the proper accomplishment. The accomplishment means over here that the person recognizes that the only thing in life that is of value is to do the good, and doing the good is what really gives a person a good life and perfects a person and leads him to the to a true existence. That's what we mean by accomplishment. So we mean that the person should be attached to the fact that doing the real good is the good for man, which gives him a good life, not a type of imaginary accomplishment that somebody's going to pat him on the back and say he's a great guy. Doesn't mean that the man wants God's that the man is looking for God to come down and say he's a great man. That's ego, that's vanity. What it means is that the person should be attached to the real good, because he recognizes that this is the best thing for man. And by being involved in the good, this is the best life that he can have without any external reward. What it's saying is, however, the chiddush of the memory is that the person must operate in the way that it brings in the way that's most expedient in bringing about the good. A person must have must be aware of the concept of expediency. Now, if it's more expedient to utilize my energies in this way, so expediency is definitely the route that should be the determining factor. That which is most expedient in bringing about the best situation. He has to work with that concept. Working through the tzibur is the most expedient way of bringing about the good. And a person, this lives in reality. In reality, when we try to do the good, we don't just simply try to have good feelings. I mean, this is nonsense. What he tries to do is to try to do an action which is most expedient to bring about a real change which will result in the good. He has his mind to be attached to reality. And the tzibur is the most expedient means. Now, since it's the most expedient means, so rationality dictates that that's the route he should take for his energies. So that's what he should do. And that is the good. The good is to work within reality in the most expedient possible way. That's what the memory really means. That's schus avosu mesayatam. It means it's the most expedient way. Just like in business, a person will try to do an action which brings about the greatest results financially, so too, when it comes to the Torah, when it comes to Gemilas Chasadim, when it comes to Tzorchei Tzibur, the person must think carefully and try to do the action which brings about the most expedient results. It's an interesting thing. But actually, institutions are notorious in not doing this. I mean, you take a look at the monies of the tzibur in the institutions, how much money they're wasted. Just absolute people do not give a hoot about it. Oh, don't care at all. Don't care at all. You see? No, it's a fact. Why? Because they really aren't interested. There is no... As a matter of fact, a lot of times you see institutions go under. And people take a look at the board, and they see the members of the board are big businessmen. And they say, any one of these men, if they would have run their institution like this, they'd be bankrupt. How could people sit on the board and allow the institution just to lose money like this? The answer is because they're not attached to the concept of expediency when it comes to an institution of Torah. Over there, they're attached to one emotion, being a generous man, being a good man. That's an absurdity. That's the whole member. The member says that the that's an intrinsic concept in this member, that the idea of expediency must be used over here just as much, if not more, than in the business world. But you see, that emotion of expediency is not here. Why is the emotion of expediency basically not here? I'll tell you why. Why is it so? No, because, yes, it's true, but there's another reason also. Because somehow or other, people have the feeling that when it comes to God's business, this is one of the reasons. I mean, a lot of the reasons, some people just don't care. But a lot of times people simply have the feeling when it comes to God's area, so no need to be so concerned, to be so rational. Things will go along, God will take care of it. See? That's an absurdity. That's an absurdity. In Yadus, everything, it all depends upon us. That was the story with Mordechai and Esther. Now, every step was used to bring about the Gula. To sit back and to rely on the Gula, that God's going to bring the Gula. That's clearer. That's against the whole Torah. Against the whole Torah. That's nonsense. We have to be expedient and bring about the good, just like we use expediency in every other area. We are this, and yeah, this, we're attached to reality. Because reality really is the framework which God gave us. That's another part. It's a statement that's inherent in the concept that's inherent in this member, really. Question was raised that since the tzibur is the antithesis of the ego, so the group is the antithesis of the ego, so could a person lose his ego by involving himself in the group? Now, it is true that we maintain, like one philosopher said, that just like healthy actions bring about a healthy body, so too virtuous actions bring about a virtuous soul. That is true. And therefore, doing an action which, like working with a tzibur, which breaks the ego, is certainly a value. But I would just qualify the statement. I would say it is true, but the analogy is not exact. Because in dealing with the body, all you have to do is supply the body with what it needs, and you have a healthy body, assuming that the body is healthy to begin with. But with the soul, the perfection lies in the specific structure of the soul. And an action, an external action, doesn't really change the soul completely. And I'm not saying it doesn't work, because otherwise the whole Torah is bubble. The whole Torah is really, the whole purpose of the Torah is to do actions, to external actions that change the soul. External actions have an effect on the soul that could lead a person to perfection. But the action must be followed up by introspection. If the action isn't followed up by introspection, then it's not going to really lead to the desired result. Yes, if you do an action, if a person works with a tzibur and he senses that it bothers his ego, so if he just says, I'm just going to work through with a tzibur, go against my ego, I mean, I'm not saying it's not a level. It's certainly a level. It's even that is a tremendous level. A person will be able to do that. But if he wants the real benefit, after that, he has to make use of that frustration to introspect and to root out the emotions that cause him to have the narcissistic attachment. If he doesn't follow it through with introspection, you see, then he's not really going to change himself. Not going to change himself. He'll reach a certain level, but a certain level of control. But in order to change himself, it has to be followed through with introspection. That's not followed through, the soul's not going to be perfected. It's not exactly like the body. If the body is an external thing, all you have to do is give a supply with what it needs. Yeah, but the soul has to have, you have to actually change the structure of the soul. You're not changing the structure of the body. You're just supplying with what it needs. So healthy actions lead to a healthy body, because the body structure is there, given. But the soul, the perfection of the soul involves changing the very structure of the soul. Now, doing an external action is not going to change the structure. But the frustration that results from the external action, if introspection follows because of the frustration, and that should be a natural result, then perfection could be gained. That's why really it's true. See, the Rambam mentioned that Chazal, you can't learn from the way Chazal did certain things because they did it for their own perfection. Yeah, but you wouldn't say, you don't find, there's one thing that you don't find that Chazal never held. Like, let's say a person, for instance, has an emotion, he doesn't want to do something, you know, whatever it is, he doesn't want to go to work. So let him go to work 15 hours a day. Yeah? Now, because the thing is that would be Bittul Torah. See, that would be Bittul Torah. The real perfection comes from Torah and Chochmah. And actions are necessary to bring a person to a certain state of frustration. But the ultimate perfection has to come through Torah and Chachma. And that's why if you do an action just to try to counteract, that would just be like a negative acting out. He's acting out certain things. In other words, he wants to act a certain way, so now he's acting out the opposite way. But that alone is not really perfection. That's why when it comes to Bittul Torah, Chazal were the place that you said no. I mean, a certain action a person could do, but if a person will work out a situation, he has to work on his emotions, so therefore he won't learn for 5 years. He'll work on these different emotions for 5 years. That's absurdity. Because then he'd be forfeiting the real perfection. The real perfection is an internal perfection, which takes place through Chachma, through Talmud Torah, and that you can't forfeit. You can use external things in order to bring the mechanisms into play, but the real perfection comes only from the Torah and Chachma. That's the philosophy of Chazal. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, the Gemara says. That the only true remedy for the corrupt soul is Torah. That's the only true remedy. So that's why if you're going to Mevatel Torah, do certain actions that are going to cause Bittul Torah, then you're forfeiting real perfection. Nowhere do you find Chazal say, just go do certain actions, 5 hours a day, spend doing this action to correct your emotions. That'll be a Bittul Torah, it'll be a waste of time. But of course, I mean, insofar as the mitzvahs are set up in a way that, generally speaking, you see, a person who does the mitzvahs will, because of his imperfections, reach certain frustrations. And then he should capitalize on those frustrations to convert a soul into a more perfected state. That's the way the person has to work. But you see the way the mitzvahs are set up, that the system is such, which lends itself to essentially the Talmud Torah. That's the essence of the system, is Talmud Torah. The essence of the system is not a season of mitzvahs. The essence of the whole essence is Talmud Torah. That's why the system is set up that way. You need both, of course. You need both, because if you don't have the frustration, so then you won't see his imperfections. But the emphasis, the real converter, the real thing that makes the changes a person and brings him to a higher level is the Torah. Is the inner, it's the inner operation, the inner function of the soul. The Chachma and the Torah. That's why the Torah is set up that way, that the emphasis is always on Talmud Torah. That's the Ikar. Yes?
We're saying
work. By Talmud Torah, of course, we mean Chachma Satara. It doesn't necessarily mean to learn Bava Kamma. Talmud Torah, a person learns the Pesukim Mishlei, a person learns the Pesukim Kehelas. The Torah is very big. People think they have it wrong idea. The Torah is just learning the Masechtos. Yeah, it's very important. No question about it. I mean, but the Torah means the whole Torah, the whole system, the Vim and Mishlei and Kehelas and Telem and all the Chachmas Torah. It has to be a total picture, something which changes a person's life. Really, the one who made a point out of that, who made a point out of this idea, was the Chovas Alvavos. That was really the main thrust of the Sefer. Chovas Alvavos wanted to show that concept, that the real perfection is in the Chovas HaLev, the inner perfections. That's really where the emphasis is, and that's why that the whole system of Yadis, with all the Maisa Mitzvah and everything, the emphasis always is on the inner perfection. Yeah. The Maimah is not saying that if a person does Yitzhak Hatzibah, that's the end of all the problems. But just pointing out a specific emotion which is involved in the Tzibur, that's all. Avos points out each emotion individually. They're pointing to one particular emotion over here.
Yeah, but
it's speaking about a situation not where you're the head of a tzibur. That's something else. It's speaking about a situation where you participate as an individual. There are 100 people that are involved in doing the same thing, and you're giving your little share. You're giving your share. So that's the particular case. That's the second pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah. The first pshat is dealing with your case, with the case where the individual might be the key figure in the tzibur. So then he'll utilize it for his own good. But the question is, what aspect of tzibur is the member discussing? The first part of the member is discussing an aspect of tzibur where the individual can consider himself an important person because of the tzibur. He can capitalize on the tzibur, make use of the tzibur for his own glorification. That's the first part of the member. Second part is speaking of a different tzibur situation, where a person just plays a small role, is a small participant. So there's an emotion against that, so he's trying to show you that emotion is false. Break that emotion. That's the basic method of analysis of a member. You have to know what particular idea the member is after. Hiram have a Zahiram Barushas, it says. Okay. This is a very unusual, I mean, it's a very...